Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Great to be back with you. How do you do? I am, of course, Rob Brown. The pleasure is, of course, exclusively mine. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the show. Thanks for being a part of our broadcast today. Hope you are enjoying every single second of it. We are, not that you asked, but it'd have been rude of you not to. Busy day talking basketball at the NCAA level today. Big weekend for Clemson and Carolina hoops, so we've been spending some time talking about that. Got to get into the NFL. We mentioned just a few minutes ago, it is official. J.J. Watt is now the newest member of the Arizona Cardinals. Ended up signing a two-year deal, 31 mil, 23 of that guaranteed up front. So we'll break that down. Man, it is a busy day. It's a busy day in the world of sports. Got to talk some local stuff as well. Greenville Swamp Rabbits this weekend had themselves a whale of a series against the Allentown All-Americans out of Allen, Texas. And Saturday night had a great showing. I was there Friday night, took a tough L, but took two out of three away from the Allen Americans. And Saturday night was a fantastic night there at the well. Energy was high, people showing up. Fantastic night for the Swamp Rabbits. We're going to be talking later on this week with Andrew Lord, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Check in with him just a little bit. But before we get there, I want to get back to, we were going to talk Clemson basketball in the last segment, but ended up having that J.J. Watt news break. Clemson ends up with a nice little 66-58 dub over Miami at home. January 2nd was the last time that Clemson and Miami got together. The Tigers needed a late burst to get by the Hurricanes down at the Watsco Center in Miami, 66-65. But Alamir Dawes provided a huge spark, 66-58 winners for the Tigers. At the midway through the first half, the Tigers trailed by five. Dawes entered the game and immediately got the ball rolling. 10-0 run just by himself, including a pair from behind the arc. The Tigers would push ahead 26-23 and never look back. Miami would cut the deficit down to three at one point late in the second half, but Dawes and Hunter Tyson would drain a three on consecutive trips down the floor, boost the lead back up to 51-42 with 10:31 left to play, less than 3 minutes left on the clock. Three consecutive baskets, a driving layup by Nick Honor, along with another set of threes from Tyson and Sims. The lead at that point was 65-54, and it would remain in that ballpark for the rest of the day. Dawes and Sims both finished with a team-high 19 points. Dawes was 7-9 from the floor, 4-of-4 from behind the arc. Sims was 8-for-12 and 3-of-4 from range. Tyson also notched double figures with 10 points. Miami's Isaiah Wong finished the game with a season-high 28 points in the loss. Clemson improves to 15-5 overall, 9-5 in ACC play, the fifth straight win in conference, for Clemson. The last time the Tigers had a five-game winning streak in ACC play, you got to go all the way back to 1990. They won the regular season conference title. The win also marks the 200th career victory for Brad Brownell as the head coach of the Tigers. Clemson on a roadie to take on Syracuse on Wednesday after knocking off the Miami Hurricanes. What's interesting here, obviously, as we are, we're now taking an eye, keeping an eye on what happened this weekend. It was a weird, weird weekend in college basketball this weekend. We know that we had Kansas knocking off Baylor, 71-58. The Bears, now 1-18 lifetime in that building. It also dropped Baylor down to the number three overall seed. The number three overall seed as Michigan has jumped over them after their one loss. It would be kind of crazy in most years to think that a team would lose the number one overall seed based on their first loss on the season. But Baylor's also had a lot of games that got postponed due to the coronavirus. Baylor right now checking in at 18-1 overall. Most teams have 18 in the win column and a handful of losses, but Baylor had a lot of their games postponed, and that kind of took away from their SOS just a little bit. So Michigan jumps up to the two seed. Baylor falls to the three. Those Buckeyes are still a one seed. Now, they are the number four overall seed in the tournament. According to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, who I know Mark had on his show last week, his 4-1 seeds right now are Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Ohio State. His two seeds right now are West Virginia, Illinois, Villanova, and FSU. Interesting about FSU, and this kind of shows me the ACC conference tournament is far from settled. FSU was the best team, remains record-wise the best team in the ACC as it stands right now. The problem they bumped into was this weekend against North Carolina. Florida State was up a dozen at halftime against UNC up in Chapel Hill, but North Carolina shook off a very rough first half, came back and beat FSU convincingly in the second half. 78-70, the Heels knock off the Noles. North Carolina's easily their best win of the season, and they were coming off of a loss to Marquette on Wednesday. That is not a great Marquette team. Remember, it was a last-minute scheduling by North Carolina that Roy Williams in his press conference after that game popped off just a little bit. We played that audio for you. But Marquette knocks off UNC, and then they turn around and they go out and beat the best regular season team in the ACC and FSU. Now, the Tar Heels took advantage of an at-large spot opening when North Texas lost, making Western Kentucky the Conference USA automatic qualifier in the bracket. It freed up a spot, and it put the Tar Heels into the tournament. Now, the Tar Heels were likely going in anyway. Now we're keeping an eye on where everybody else is. The problem out of North Carolina, not for the Tar Heels, but for the Blue Devils of Duke, is that Duke was in the running for one of those spots, but they lost to Louisville at home in overtime. They would have likely been in, according to Jerry Palm's bracketology, if they would have knocked off Louisville, a team that you would have expected them to beat. I mean, Duke was on a hot streak coming into that game. Louisville, on the other hand, not a great basketball team. A good basketball team, but not a great basketball team. So now we got conference tournaments going on, and starting in, about a week, we'll have conference tournaments going on, and we'll see how that picks up. But the point of all of this, to circle back around to where we were just a second ago, we are now looking at a Clemson team that we had question marks about, and Jerry Palm, Lonzo, has them as a four seed in the tournament, a four seed overall. sharing the bracket with Baylor is the number three overall one seed. They've got it lined up against the University of North Carolina Greensboro, a team that gave Furman a 1-1 split this year. That's who Jerry Palm right now has projected to win the SoCon and make their way into the tournament as that conference's one bid. We'll see if any SoCon teams can earn an at-large bid. And, I mean, it's certainly no guarantee that UNCG will win the SoCon tournament and move on there. But they share a bracket with number one Baylor, number two Ohio State, and the three seed in that bracket right now belongs to Arkansas out of the Southeastern Conference. Clemson, the four seed, according to Jerry Palm, in the Banker's Life 2 bracket. That's Region 3. The five seed in that bracket is Texas Tech. The six is Virginia Tech. The seven is USC. And the eight seed would be Louisville, a familiar opponent for the Clemson Tigers. Big win over the weekend, Zoe, and all of a sudden this Clemson team is starting to pick up some momentum heading into the ACC tournament, which, look, they're in regardless of what happens from here out. Question mark is, can they bump that four seed up to a three seed and gain some even better positioning?
Well, the other thing is, I mean, it's good that they're playing well enough that they're probably in, but if they go where they're projected to go, that's rough, man. There are some really good teams in that part of the bracket if things end up the way they're saying they're going to be. So is it good enough to just make the tournament, or do they have to go through a couple rounds, or can they? Are they capable? Is this team capable? They should win the first round if that's the matchup they get, but are they capable of knocking off any of those other teams? I don't know.
Yeah, and we'll keep an eye on that as we push forward. The good news there for Clemson fans is going to be if, again, this is all subjective right now, there's a lot of question marks left, but if Clemson did escape Region 4 and bump themselves up into Region 2, the good news is that bracket, to me, shapes up a lot better for the Tigers than Region 4 did. The one seed out there is Illinois, which if I had to take on a one seed, I think Illinois would be the one that I wanted to play, but the rest of that bracket does not look easy at all. The two seed there was Alabama, a very good hot shooting Alabama team. The three seed there, as Jerry Palm has it today, is FSU, a team that, look, Clemson sniped FSU earlier. That FSU team, up until a bad second half collapse against North Carolina cost them a game, a team that seemed to have everybody's number in the ACC, and we know Leonard Hamilton would have that team ready for the tournament. So that's the three seed I want out of, in Kansas as the four seed. I don't love bracket four. Bracket four would have been a tough set for the Clemson Tigers. I much prefer them getting Baylor. Ohio State is the two seed. I think they match up better. And Arkansas is the three. I think the weakest of the three seeds. I like where Clemson falls if they can bump up to that region. My question is going to be, can they make themselves a three seed and make the path just that much easier on their way to a Sweet 16 appearance? We'll keep an eye on that for you. But a great win for the Tigers of Clemson over Miami for their resume. That's one of those ones that you look at and you go, as a resume builder, it's not the most impressive dub, but it would have absolutely wrecked you. If you lose that game to Miami, Clemson's one of those teams that is certainly not on the bubble, but seeding is very volatile for where they sit right now. A bad ACC loss to a team like Miami. By the way, look, Miami was a team that looked really looked better in the opening set of the season, but they have been injury-plagued. I think they were very shorthanded. I want to say they only had 9 players dressed for that game against Clemson. It is a team that is shorthanded. They've had the injury bug bite and bite hard. That's an L that really, really threatens your seeding in the tournament if you take it. Not that it was a must win, but it kind of was for a variety of reasons. And Brad Brownell's squad got it done. That's about all that you could ask for in that situation. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, all the different handles to get in touch with us today. All right. So we continue to look at the big stories. We continue to look at the big stories going out for the NFL this weekend. And obviously, when we found out last week that Russell Wilson had not demanded a trade, there were questions about it because he also gave out a list of teams that he would accept a trade for if that's the point that they get to. Well, I gave you a thought about where the Seattle Seahawks stand, and Dan Orlovsky has now come out publicly and agreed with what I had to say. I'm not assuming it's because I said it, though we do know that Dan Orlovsky is a huge fan of the show and listens every day. I'm going to give you Dan Orlovsky's thought, and then we're going to turn that a little bit down the road into a question that Lonzo and I have debated on this show very frequently. And now that this is a reality that NFL names are starting to talk about, do you like it? Do you dislike it? I'll tell you what I mean when we come back here in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown. Lonzo's at the helm. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. So last week we watched the story of Russell Wilson as it started to break out. And look, Russell's agent said he has not demanded a trade. He does not want a trade. But that if there is a trade, he would want to play for the Saints, the Bears, the Raiders, or who was the fourth team, Zoe? Do you remember off the top of your head? I don't remember. It doesn't matter because he's not going anywhere. Right? At least I don't think he's going anywhere. Well, the trade talks really started to heat up. And in fact, it's gone so far that there are now mayor squabbles online, including LaToya Cantrell, who is the mayor of New Orleans. She put out a recruiting video to Russell Wilson and his wife Sierra saying you guys would fit in great, New Orleans, come on down. The mayor of Seattle put out their own video saying don't even put your eyes on Russell Wilson. He's our duty staying here. And since then, there have been a lot of talks about where, if anywhere, Russell Wilson might end up playing next year. As I mentioned, I don't think Russell's going anywhere. And I told Lonzo last week that I think the Seattle Seahawks would be more likely to fire Pete Carroll or at least push him to an early retirement before they would get rid of Dangerous Wilson out of Seattle. Well, Dan Orlovsky, NFL insider, former NFL quarterback for ESPN, seems to agree with me. Here's what Orlovsky had to say on Get Up on ESPN.
Are we now living in a world where we have to be prepared for Russell Wilson to get traded?
Greeny, we are now living in a world where we should be prepared for anything in the NFL. That's my number one point. We all got to change the way that we're looking at this offseason when it comes to quarterback willingness, when it comes to movement, or teams' willingness when it comes to salary cap hits or whatnot. We all need to change the way that we think because this is a new NFL. Now, I really look at this situation. It's one of two things in Seattle. This is either about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson being unhappy with him, or it's about Russell Wilson's long-term brand and legacy. Make it simple. If this is about Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, fire Pete Carroll. Sit down with Russell Wilson. What happened? Why it happened? And who do you want moving forward? If this is about brand and legacy, if this is about Russell Wilson trying to become the NFL's Magic Johnson in 20 years from now, his mind is already made up. One more year in Seattle will not change that. It would flip to the organization. Then they would have to look at it and go, his star is brighter than it's ever been. We need to move and act fast to get as much as we can for Russell Wilson.
So Orlovsky says, hey, look, here's the deal. If this is an issue that is truly about Russell Wilson's inability to get along with Pete Carroll, then you get rid of Pete Carroll. You get rid of the variable. You let Russell call his shots. Who do you want? Why do you want him? And you let him sit next to the GM while they make the decision about Pete Carroll's replacement. But if this is about Russell Wilson, if this is about Russell Wilson wanting to build his brand, remember last year there was the big thing on Twitter, the hashtag let Russ cook. And then Russell Wilson was trying to get that to start trending, etc. And here we are, though. You know, we've joked about this in the past, but the whole concept of branding, right? I mean, heck, every business in the world right now, you hear all the time, you got to build your brand. You got to build your brand. You got to create hashtags. You got to go social. You got to get your SEO optimized. You got to have this. You got to have that in order to build your brand. Well, while that's one thing for businesses, it is true for individuals as well. You want to build a brand. When I got here and they asked me, what do you want the name of your show to be? I immediately said, I want to keep it as the Rob Brown Show, right? Why? Because I have spent 14 years building a brand around the Rob Brown Show. My Twitter handle is that. My Instagram handle is that. My Facebook site is that. My website has always been that, et cetera, because branding is important. Branding helps people recognize you. And players are starting to learn that as they move forward, and especially at a point in time where athletes are more and more and more being picked up as promotional spokespersons. More and more players are going from being players to being television analysts. Tony Romo has kind of started, not that he's the first, but Romo has really built his brand as the best color guy in the business, etc. As you see that moving forward, we're seeing more and more players, Lonzo, who are trying to build their brand. And Orlovsky has kind of thrown out a very interesting take here, which is if this is about Russell Wilson saying, I want to build my brand to where I'm the face of the NFL moving forward. When people think NFL, they think Russell Wilson. When people see NFL posters and T-shirts, my face is on them. If that is where we are, you don't have to like it. And trust me, this is even a bridge too far for me as a player-first guy. But if that is the direction that we're headed in, and Russell Wilson wants to move on, not because he's unhappy with football, but because he doesn't feel he can be the face of the NFL and the brand of the NFL if he remains in Seattle, I got to tell you, Zoe, I don't see any way to stop it without all 32 teams just collectively saying, no, Russ, that's too much. We don't want that attitude in our locker room. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If Russell Wilson's going to keep being a Pro Bowler and keep being a guy who's a threat to make it to the Super Bowl every year, teams aren't going to do that. That's just the direction the league is headed now, Lonzo. And it won't be long before college football follows suit, I promise.
Well, the bad part is, what the NFL is trying to do, is at least some of the players in the NFL, is trying to move towards the NBA model, where, you know, the big guy, the big player, the most popular player is the guy who's in control, and the coach is basically a figurehead in a lot of places, and that's a shame. I don't want to see the NFL go that way. The NBA is never going to go back. If the NFL goes that way too, it won't go back either, and I don't see an NFL where Russell Wilson is ever the face. There are too many big-name players out there for there to be just one guy.
Yeah, and on top of that, look, if you're going to be the face of a league, like LeBron in the NBA, you got to be the best, and you got to be the best for a while, right? Like, you can't have two or three years where you're the best in the league. You got to be the best for a decade if you want to be that. I would argue right now, you don't have to like it, Lonzo, but I'd argue right now, if there's a face of the NFL, it's Tom Brady, right?
I don't have to like it. You're right. I don't, but I would agree with you. At least at this moment, Tom Brady is the face of the NFL.
Yes, because he's been the GOAT, and he's been doing that for the past, 15, 16 years at this point. It took him a while to become the face of the NFL. The face of the NBA right now is LeBron James. And LeBron James has been doing it for coming up on 20 years now. LeBron James has been the face of the NBA. In golf, Tiger Woods is still the face of golf. When people think PGA Tour, they still see Tiger. Why? Because Tiger was the best for years and years and years. Russell Wilson has not been the best quarterback in football in any year of his career. He's been one of, he's been in the top three, heck, the top two, a handful of years in his career. But he's never been the undisputed best in the NFL. So Russell expecting to be the face of the NFL, if that's what this is about, and Dan Orlovsky is correct, is not a reasonable goal. It's not reasonable for Russ Wilson to expect to be the face of the National Football League. That's just what it is. But it doesn't take the power away from him to believe that he is and should be. It doesn't take away the power of him to believe that the individual should be the guy. And look, again, I've been a player-first NFL believer for a while. I think for years and years and years, the owners have held all of the power. And I know a lot of people say, well, they're the business owners. And that's your opinion. That's fine. It's a subjective opinion. I believe the players create the product, not the business owners, right? The best NFL players in the world create the product. And if you don't believe me, that's the reason that every other league that has tried to set itself up, whether as a direct competitor to the NFL or not, has failed. Because when you get average players out there playing football, you're going to get an average product. You're going to get an average product. Russell Wilson sees that. It's why he's been trying to build himself up with this hashtag Let Russ Cook and trademarking Let Russ Cook, which is a dumb catchphrase, Russ. I'm sorry. You'd have been so much better with hashtag Danger Russell, right? That'd have been such a better tag. I'm not saying it's good, though. I'm just saying it would have been better than Let Russ Cook. You're a quarterback, not a chef, bro.
I don't think either one's very good, but you're right. If they had to pick one or the other, you're right. Daniel Russell would probably be better.
Absolutely. It's not even close. But Russell Wilson, if this is about building his brand, if he really believes that the reason that Pete Carroll's offense isn't working is because the offense doesn't work, but because it doesn't feature him enough for him to continue to build a brand around himself, I got to tell you, that's kind of the spot where I, as a head coach, or I, as an owner, I think you've hit my mark. You've hit my tolerance line. When you get to the point that you're going, it is so important to me to build a brand around myself that there is controversy between I and the head coach because he's not featuring me enough to let me build a brand, That's where I bump into a problem. That's a line, and granted, a good chunk of it is because it was a different time and place. But so that's a line that not even Randy Moss and Terrell Owens crossed when they were at Diva Prime, right? Neither one of those guys ever got into it with the coaches because they weren't being featured enough to build a brand around themselves. They got into it because they were going, I'm the best wide receiver in the game, and you guys aren't getting me the ball in clutch situations. That's where the whole get me the damn ball thing came from.
And you might say that they were right.
Absolutely.
As far as that goes. But I agree. I am the face of the NFL. That just there's so much arrogance behind it. And you want confidence, especially from your quarterback. But I'm a little shocked at this coming, you know, from him.
Here's where I'm at, Lonzo, if that is the case. Again, I've heard it from a couple of places. Haven't seen it from Russell. But the context clues are there. The whole let Russ cook thing, context clues are there. With that being said, tell me if I'm off base here, Lonzo. But if that is truly what is driving the conflict between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, Zoe, I don't want him in New Orleans. I don't want him in New Orleans. I don't. I want guys who want to be successful. I want guys who want yards, who want stats. I want guys who want to make the offense be the best offense in the National Football League. I want guys who understand that they gonna get theirs under Sean Payton's system. But if this is a dude that is causing conflict between, and listen, I gotta tell you, I'm still on Russ's side because Pete Carroll is a dude that I don't think I'd be able to play for. Yes, he's like a fun player's coach, but again, Pete Carroll's he's a 9/11 truther, man. He's out there. He's whacked out there. I don't know that this isn't Pete Carroll's fault, which is why I'm not coming off. But if it comes out, if a report comes out that says Russell Wilson is upset because he doesn't believe he can be the face of the NFL in Seattle, and that is ultimately his goal, my desire, Lonzo, to get him in New Orleans drops off the map. Like, done. I don't want him there. I don't want a guy who wants to use my program to become the face of the NFL. I want a guy who wants to make my franchise the franchise that the rest of the NFL is looking up to. You can be a part of that and build your brand, but I don't want your brand first, team second. I want team first, and your brand is attached to the rising star that is my franchise.
Well, Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, and Saints, out of all those teams that he would like to go to, there is one team where he could probably go and do that, and that would be the Raiders.
See, I think Dallas.
No, Jerry Jones is too he's too prominent. You mean
him being able to make his brand his number
yes.
one priority?
Yeah, he can make his brand with the Raiders because
I agree.
Yeah, he could go there and do that, and I think Gruden would allow it and probably encourage it.
If he was a franchise first, and I'll let the franchise boost my brand, I would say the Dallas Cowboys would be the landing spot. Right? I mean, QB for America's team would absolutely be the position for that. But if he wants to go brand first, team second, I agree. Vegas would be the spot to go. But again, the question mark there is going to be, can that attitude, that mentality coexist with a successful franchise? And I got question marks about that. I really do. I'm all about players taking back the power. I'm all about players having power within the league. But man, if you are there just for you, as this is one, I was at the Super Bowl party a couple of weeks ago when Russ was there on TV and Russ was being honored as Walter Payton Man of the Year. And there was a girl there who looks and she's like, I hate that guy. I said, why do you hate Russell Wilson? She's a Cardinals fan. I said, why do you hate Russell Wilson? She said, because he is the most me first player in the National Football League and nobody calls him out on it. Because he is a nice guy, and he does do a lot for charity, etc. She said he is the most me-first, selfish player in the NFL, and he doesn't get called out on it because he's such a nice guy. She said, I believe he's the problem with the Seahawks team, and I kind of wrote her off. I really did. I kind of wrote her off as like, nah, he's just in your division. It's easy to hate guys in your division, right? I love Julio Jones as a player. I hate Julio Jones as an Atlanta Falcon. I get it. I understand that. But I have seen in the last week a handful of reports from NFL insiders who have said this is being driven by Russell Wilson feeling like he's not able to build his brand to where he wants it to be. And if that is the case, I don't want him in New Orleans. I don't. I want a guy like a Drew Brees who goes team first, and I will attach my brand to what we can get accomplished with this team, right? A great quarterback on a 9-7 team that barely makes in is eliminated first round from the playoffs, even if they are the best in the game, is not going to have their brand built as much as a guy who quarterbacks his team to the Super Bowl. We know that. Drew Brees' brand has been high in the league for years. How much higher would Brees' brand have been built if the Saints would have made the Super Bowl those two or three times that they should have and did not, either their own stupidity or the NFL shafting them out of it, pass interference, no, I'm not over it. How much higher? It would have been at Tom Brady levels. Tom Brady's brand is the most recognizable in the NFL because of the success he has accomplished team first. So if that is really Russell Wilson's mentality, I'm with Dan Orlovsky. I don't want him. 844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us, 71307 is the number. What your thoughts? If that is Russell Wilson's mentality, and if he said, I would come to fill in your team here, do you want him or do you pass? Quick break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate. At ESPN, it honestly sounds like his lady, talking about Russell Wilson and the branding thing, it honestly sounds like his lady might be steering things and making Wilson see things differently than he has historically. May work out for him, but it's making him look like LeBron a little extra, maybe even Lonzo, maybe even superfluous. Branding!
I like it.
Superfluous. Beautiful. I don't know. Listen, here's what I'm going to say. You might be right. I might be crazy, but I just may be the... Okay. You might be right. Sierra is a pop star. And if there's one group of people that are known for branding... It's pop stars. Always has been, man. Pop stars got brands. They build those brands. They work on those brands forever. You might be right. But at the end of the day, influenced or not, Russell Wilson is responsible for the thoughts, behaviors, actions, and decisions of Russell Wilson. So I'm not saying I've turned on Russell Wilson, because I'm not. I think we're making a lot of assumptions about what's going on behind the scenes. As I've said, I've questioned a lot of decisions about Pete Carroll. Questioned him not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch in that Super Bowl against the Patriots a few years ago. Questioned a lot of the things, a lot of his opinions that he's gone public with over the years. Questioned the way he's handled himself in some situations. I'm not ready to say that Pete Carroll is squeaky clean in all of this. In fact, I believe to some degree that Pete Carroll is the coach, is the guy that goes my way or the highway, no matter how good you are, even if my way is not a great way. We've seen that, right? You want a head coach who's authoritative, but like it or not, in the NFL, whether it's Bruce Arians with Tom Brady, Sean Payton with Drew Brees, I mean, any number of coaches who have taken top-tier quarterbacks to the promised land, there is some level of freedom that is afforded to those quarterbacks to allow them to become the guy. And you got to have that. Pete Carroll doesn't really strike me as that guy. And at the end of the day, it might be true that everything we've said about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson just being frustrated that Russell Wilson is not getting control of the offense that the Bradys and the Breezes of the world have for years, that might all be true. So I want to clarify what we talked about in the last segment, Zoe, by saying this. I'm not walking away from Russ. I'm not saying Russ is right or wrong. I don't know. I think we've made a lot of assumptions for the sake of this conversation. If it turns out that this is correct and that this is all a branding effort from Russell Wilson, then yeah, at that point, I'm going to have questions and I don't want them there. But if this truly is Pete Carroll just being stubborn and not allowing one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League to utilize his talents in a way that allows him to be the best quarterback he can be, I will still have Russell Wilson's back and would be happy to have him on my team at that point. All I'm saying is, let's take some time. Let's get some more details. Let's let this situation play out before we all start saying that Russell Wilson is a diva and the Seahawks need to just let him go and nobody else should pick him up.
The thing about this, though, is we may never know which is the right of it, which is the truth. And you know what? It could be a little bit of both, and more than likely is a little bit of both. Probably some of this is because of Russell Wilson's attitude, and some of it is because Pete Carroll is old and set in his ways. And this almost goes back to the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick debate. So maybe we'll never know until either Pete Carroll retires or Russell Wilson goes somewhere else.
Sure. You ain't wrong. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo One Word, and at ESPN Upstate. When we come back here in just a minute, the only official who is being held to a higher standard is in Major League Baseball. And he got absolutely blown up in a spring training game. But there's a part of that that absolutely infuriates me about baseball. And I'll tell you what it is coming up next on The Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Thanks for joining us. 844-GSP-ESPN. Coming up in the next segment, I thought I had a little bit longer here than I did. So coming up in the next segment, spring baseball started up yesterday, and baseball seems to be the only sport right now that genuinely has a group that is trying to hold officials accountable for their on-the-field performance. But it's not an official group that is holding them accountable and responsible, and nothing is being done when it's being pointed out that that is happening, which is wildly frustrating. I'm going to tell you what group it is ultimately that is starting to hold them accountable. That's coming up in the next segment. You're going to want to stick around for that. William Byron took control in the final stage to win yesterday's NASCAR Cup Series at Homestead, Miami. Byron becomes the third different driver to win a race this year. We have only had three of them so far. Michael McDowell won his first ever race in the Daytona 500 a few weeks back. Christopher Bell took the checkered flag at the road course at Daytona last weekend. And this weekend, William Byron navigated the 24 car to its most recent victory after winning the second stage in a one-lap shootout. Byron led 99 of the final stage's 107 laps on his way to earning his second career cup win. He led a race-high 102 laps. Byron told Fox after the race, quote, "You had to go with the wall at certain times. Turns 3 and 4 were really fast up there. I definitely didn't do it as good as the Xfinity cars do it, but I used it when I had to, and this car was just awesome." End quote. Byron's win was also the first cup victory for crew chief Rudy Fugel in their third race together on the number 24 Hendrick Motorsports squad. They worked together in the truck series. They reunited this season. Byron won by 2.7 seconds over Tyler Reddick, who also ran strong after the sun went down to finish in second place. A very clean race. The last two races, a lot of crashes, a lot of accidents, a lot of cars damaged out of competitiveness in the last two races. Not so much this time. Not a lot of accidents in this one, which I was watching this race with a group of guys yesterday afternoon, and one thing that I found interesting was that for a mile and a half or on that oval track at Homestead, Miami, that lends to clean racing. It felt like a generic mile and a half cookie cutter race, unfortunately. It was just boring down the stretch. I mean, the last 52-ish laps, cars spread out, nothing really happened, but those are the races that separate the teams that are championship contenders away from the teams that just benefit from wreck-filled, collision-filled crash courses like the last 2 weeks have been. So it may have felt boring, but you got to figure out who are the teams that are really going to be in contention. We'll talk more NASCAR later on in the week. Hour two closes. Hour three, the money hour, starts next on the Rob Brown Show. Rob, Lonzo, and you, this is ESPN Upstate.